Hey, welcome to another episode of Glenn is Talking, Man from New York. I am Glenn Mann, episode 33, season 4. I know it's been a while between episodes and, haven't really been in a podcasting mood. Particularly, I feel like this podcast is kind of winding down. This fall will actually be 5 years since I started the podcast, which I'm very proud of that. I started something and I said I'm going to do a certain amount of episodes, and then if I like it, I'm going to continue doing it, which is what I did. So it's been almost 5 years of doing this podcast. So for those who've been listening, thank you so much. But yeah, I've been doing that many episodes, and I have another podcast called Other Moods, which you may or may not have listened to or heard about. But I haven't been doing that podcast either. I've been kind of like trying to rethink what I'm doing with podcasting, as far as like, am I going to continue to do this podcast or a version of it, or just focus on my other podcast, or maybe combine the two different elements. This is like a general interest one. The other one is about sort of spirituality and more. So I've been kind of trying to figure out what exactly am I going to do as far as like my podcasting direction, because I do love the format and the genre of podcasting and just connecting to people in this manner, communicating in this way. So that's sort of like the status of the podcast at this moment. So what did I want to talk about? So it's August. We just finished the first week of August. August, they call it the dog days of summer. I just celebrated a birthday, which I'm happy about. And the thing when you get older, of course, birthdays, there's a combination of sort of sadness, because you're like, I'm getting older, and maybe just things you wanted to do you haven't done yet. But then there's a relief that you've actually had the birthday. As when you were a kid or when you're younger, there's that sense of excitement or anxiety about you. When you're a little kid, it's like, oh, what kind of gifts am I going to get? And then there's that excitement of your gifts or your party and this cake. And when you become an adult, there's still some excitement because you're going to go out and maybe hang out and do things and have a good time. When you get older, it comes more about, can I just get a good snack? Like, I had some ice cream. That was the highlight of my birthday, and I enjoyed it very much. I had me some chocolate chip ice cream, Haagen-Dazs, best ice cream ever. This is not a sponsored episode, but Haagen-Dazs, chocolate chip ice cream, the elite of the ice cream flavors, in my opinion. So, the dull days of August, and looks, like, summer has always been my favorite season, but summer is, I don't know, maybe it's climate change, maybe it's age, especially this summer, I just feel like I've been living in an air fryer. It's been so freaking hot that I'm like, as much as I, like, love summer, because, you know, long days, and the sun is out, and you can do so many things, I'm kind of craving fall and autumn. I'm craving like hoodies and cider and just a break from the heat, at least. You know, it's just been nonstop, it feels, the past month. That's the weather report right now. And speaking of, I mentioned climate change. So one of the things I wanted to talk about, I feel like there's so much hopelessness and cynicism on social media. Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, there's so much cynicism and hopelessness, and I'm like, it's annoying me, it bothers me. And I say this as someone who, most people who know me well would say that I'm a cynic. Like, I'm usually someone who's like, okay, sure, whatever. Like, I'm always like skeptical. But I kind of feel like being cynical and sort of having a sense of hopelessness has become sort of like an identity for many people on social media. And I'm like, why? Maybe it's because like being detached like is like a sense of coolness. It's like wearing a leather jacket, I guess, you know. It's like, but what, like, it doesn't do anything. Like, yes, I think we should be realistic about the state of the world, the state of our lives. But having no hope doesn't do anything. First of all, it makes you feel bad. So your mental health takes a beating. It doesn't motivate you to make things better or change your conditions. So what's the point? And I feel like when I was scrolling through social media, especially, you know, people are upset. Inflation has really taken a bite out of people's wallets. The political instability, things that happened around the world, from Ukraine to, you know, things. There's so many things happening in the world. So it's natural to be concerned and to be worried. And there's many troubling things. But when people kind of like, you know, everything is bad, it sucks, and people need to accept that, and there's nothing, it's like, well, I don't know how that benefits. Like, you have to have hope. Star Wars, the first Star Wars movie, known as Episode 4, A New Hope. Now, Star Wars, there's been so many Star Wars, right? There's sequels and prequels and series and everything. And don't know if you saw Obi-Wan Kenobi on Disney Plus. That was really, I really enjoyed that. If you have not seen the Obi-Wan Kenobi, Ewan McGregor reprising his role as the younger Obi-Wan Kenobi. And it was really good, and I really enjoyed it. So if you're not a big Star Wars person, but you're aware of Star Wars, like you've seen the original movies and you know the character, I think you would enjoy Obi-Wan Kenobi. I really did. But back to my point, one of the movies is this movie called Rogue One. It's a prequel. It's a direct prequel to the first Star Wars that we know of, A New Hope. And it's about, like, the plan to get the Death Star. Like, the plans to get the plans for the Death Star. It's basically like a heist movie. And one of the main characters says, you know, rebellions are built on hope. And you can say hope is really the foundation of almost anything. Rebellions, revolutions, nations, businesses, relationships, making a meal. Right, you get the ingredients and you have hope that it's going to come together. You're going to have a good meal. So hope is kind of like the foundation of everything. So when you don't have hope, what do you have? You got nothing. So what's the point? So I'm not saying not be realistic about things that are happening. I'm not saying that don't be skeptical. I'm all for a little cynicism because I consider myself a cynic by nature. But unless I see people who are like, everything is horrible, everything sucks, and this is the way it's going to be. You know, and I know, like I said, I know it's very easy because if you watch the news, if you follow everything, it's very easy to become just sad and depressed about the state of the world that we've got. We've had COVID that we dealt with the past few years. Now we got the freaking monkeypox. Well, you know, and that sounds like a freaking nightmare. And then there's polio. Now there's been people, they found polio in the wastewater. It's only diagnosed with polio. Like, what is going on, man? I did a video last week that I posted like on my Instagram and my TikTok, where I was like, you know what, with everything going on, I'm like ready to go to like cabin in the woods somewhere in the mountains, maybe like, I don't know, be a fire lookout like Jack Kerouac and Dharma Bums or Desolation Angels. I'm just ready to like get away from people, because every time you turn on the news or you hear something, it's like this disease, this pandemic, this is happening, this incident, this is, it's like, oh man. Like I said in the video, if you can give me the address of Superman's Fortress of Solitude so I can move there, I will squat in the Fortress of Solitude. Superman can try to evict me, whatever, take me to court. But, yeah, because it's like, there's so much going on. So I understand the need to, like, to be like, oh man, like, what's happening? But, you kind of gotta, like, say, okay, yes, things are troubling, but things have always been troubling. Ever since human beings have been on this planet, things have been troubling and concerning. Even before there were human beings on the planet, when the dinosaurs were doing their thing, I'm sure there were some dinosaurs in their dinosaur way that was like, you know, I just don't feel good about things. And of course, maybe they didn't know the thing was going to happen, the extinction level event. But what I'm saying is, as long as human beings have been around, there have been troubles and concerns, and you endure and you go on. And hope has to be a main component of that. I hope I feel, I don't want to feel like I'm preaching to you, to the audience, but I'm just responding to what I feel like is just really negative thinking out there. And I'm not shifting you towards the power of positive thinking, or what some people may call toxic positivity. I'm just saying hopelessness is not motivating. It makes you feel bad. It's worthless. The difference between having like an objective, sort of realistic take of what's happening and being like, oh, there's nothing we can do. You know, and look, and I see, and you see the news stories, and there's a story here in New York that I just read about, which just made me so upset and frustrated, because you know we've dealt with increases in crime and everything. And there's a story in, from Brooklyn, where a six-year-old girl was punched and had her scooter stolen by a group of teenage boys. Let me repeat that for you in case you didn't hear me. A six-year-old girl in a scooter was punched in the face and had her scooter stolen from her by a group of teenage boys. I was like, what? This is horrible. And I was like, when I heard that story, I was like, this can't be real. And look, I grew up in New York City, so I know kids can be cruel to other kids. In the streets, you know, you can be minding your business, someone can come bother you. But a six-year-old girl being attacked by a group of teenage boys, and to me, that just made me so angry and frustrated. And yes, that made me kind of like, really like, oh man, what's going on? Is the civilized world is unwinding? And when I was a kid, when I was like, Ron, I think I was like maybe 8 years old or 9 years old, probably eight, I was, had a sort of altercation with some older kids. I was in elementary school. They were like in the school across from us. There was a fence. They were much older. They were like 12 or 13. And so the kids from the elementary school, sometimes we would like stand on the gate looking at the older kids. Cause that's what little kids do, right? They look at the older kids and I can't wait till I'm an older kid and I have more freedom to do things or whatever. So I remember being in school, be like on a lunch break or recess, and like standing on the gate like so many other kids do, looking at the older kids from the other school. And these two kids, these two older boys, they saw me and they kicked me through the gate, right? This is a move that any WWE wrestler would be proud of now. But yeah, they kicked me through the gate and I hit my head against like part of the fence and had like a big knot on my head, and it was a huge thing. And like everyone was upset. My mother was upset. My dad, my grandmother. They went to the school. They couldn't do anything because it was another school, and it was just a big thing. And it was just like, and people were like really upset because they were like, you know, why would they do this to a younger kid? But it was like, sometimes boys are kind of like that with other boys, even when they're younger. But something about a group of teenage boys hitting a little girl and taking, that just makes me so angry. That makes me want to put on like a cowl and cape and start like kung fu fighting at night. Because that's just disgusting. And that could make you feel some sense of hopelessness. But we gotta be hopeful though, because we know that despite that horrible story, there are thousands of kids who are playing in their neighborhood and they're not encountering these issues. There's thousands of teenagers who are not doing these type of things. But there's a lot of crazy stuff happening in the world, in the streets in New York City. The pandemic seemed to really erode like some form of the social contract, just the way human beings interact with other human beings. There's a sense of disorder and chaos, and unfortunately some people mistake chaos for freedom when it's the opposite. It's very oppressive, but that's like, I feel like that's like for another episode or something. But yeah, there's a lot of disorder and a lot of chaos here in the streets in New York and across the country and around the world. but you still have to remain hopeful. That's sort of like our mission. That's our job. Because with anything, like, what if, like, what about kids going to school? If everything is horrible and nothing, then what's the point of kids going to school? What's the point of people going to work? What's the point of anything, right? If we're going to embrace this mentality of hopelessness and sort of extreme cynicism about everything. And there's that saying that misery loves company. And I think it's really, it's always been true, but I think social media really clarifies it. Because I think a lot of people have feelings and they express these feelings and they want other people to feel the way they feel. Not out of malice, but because that sense of like, I need what I'm feeling. I need you to feel it too, because I'm not alone. But we gotta have hope, despite everything that is happening around us. Or else, will like there really be sort of, you know, nothing else to do really. Now, I'm gonna take a quick commercial break. Haven't done one of those in a while, and be back with more. Hey, so I'm back here. Glenn is talking, man from New York. Now, sort of continuing with the idea of hope. Is it generational? Are younger generationals less hopeful than older generations? Like, are boomers more hopeful, or are they just enjoying retirement? Generation X, do they just not care anything? Millennials, Zoomers, Generation Z. Now, I've mentioned before in this podcast, also a listener warning, I am recording this episode near an open window, so you could hear anything. You might hear someone screaming for help. You might hear a train. You might hear a dog. God knows who you could hear. But it's really, really hot, and I'm in a room with no air conditioning, so please bear with me. That's a listener warning. Yeah, this episode is being done by an open window. Anything can happen. So I was saying, like, generation and demographics have different feelings about the state of the world. Now, I happen to really hate the fact that people are so invested in these demographic labels. People are like, I'm a millennial, so I believe this. And I'm a Zoomer, or I'm a Zillennial, whatever. Or I'm Generation X, I don't even care. Or I'm a Boomer, and keep your hands off my Social Security. And so, like, I just think people get so invested in these demographic labels. Like, who really cares? Like, that's not, like, I think having that be a main component of your identity, for me personally, doesn't appeal to me. Like, what's my demographic? I feel like my demographic is everything. So, like, hey, you know, like, this idea that we sort of, like, pigeon ourselves or try to pigeonhole ourselves into these specific roles and labels. Like, what's the purpose? Like, who does it benefit? Nah, it doesn't make much sense to me. And that kind of, but I think that kind of breeds into the soul of the cynicism. Because people are like, this generation sucks and that generation sucks. Well, that, you know, these millennials they don't have any kind of, well, look, millennials are like almost 40, some of them. So, like, this is a big group of people, and the Generation Z, and like, and people like, remember everyone was like, I hate boomers. I hope boomers die, whatever they were talking about. Like, okay, so most of the boomers are like either your parents or your grandparents. And like everyone else, they're just trying to live and survive in the world. And the vast majority of them had didn't have much decision making. They weren't in the back rooms. They weren't in the halls of power. I mean, your grandfather probably spent like 20 years either working in a warehouse or maybe working in the office, and maybe your grandmother was a secretary, or maybe she had her own business, but they were like in the back room, was making major decisions about the way the world works. So for you to be like, I hate boomers. And then people are like, oh, you know, the young people, they don't have any loyalty to their jobs and to their work. Well, I mean, do the jobs have loyalty to them? Like, you know, so, like, we got all this demographic back and forth that you kind of see played out on social media. Kind of really is really crazy. So, speaking of social media, let's blend a little news in. So, there's going to be a big trial, right? Twitter versus Elon Musk about the sort of failed deal for Musk to buy Twitter that he's backing out of. And Twitter's like, no, give us some money and buy this damn thing. And, like, look, it's funny to see this amount of money being spoken about so casually. Oh, like $44 billion or $42 billion, whatever. There's a lot of money in the world. And there's a lot of capital out there for these businesses that's available. It's sort of mind-boggling. I'm thinking I'm getting that wrong. With how much the scale of the economy and everything. And speaking of the economy, there's a really good jobs number last week, which kind of because everyone's like worried about a recession. It's all people talk about. You go on social media, you watch the news. Is there going to be a recession? How do you deal with the recession? The recession is coming. The recession is looming. Okay, just once again, relax. We don't. Maybe there will be a recession. Maybe there won't. Maybe it'll be the way it looks like. It's going to be. If it is a recession, it's going to be like very unusual. We live in sort of unusual times, so why not have an unusual recession? We just don't know. But there's so many people who are like feeding off this sort of whole things are going to get really bad. Well, yes, things could get bad. Yes, that's a possibility. But things could also not get bad or get worse than they are. Things could actually get better. But like, you don't get a lot of amens when you say things could get better. When you say things are horrible and they're only going to get worse, people go, yes. And like I said, it's a possibility. But also, let's be real. Things could get better. And as I said, there's been countless times in history. You can talk about global history. You can talk about the history of the United States. There's been plenty of times you can say, man, things look really bad. This is horrible. This is it. This is over. And guess what? It's not. Human beings are resilient. America is a resilient nation. So, you know, like I say, give hope a chance. You know, there's a song, Give Peace a Chance. Give hope a chance. So I was watching a couple of movies, like, over the weekend. So I don't know if you've ever seen these No Escape movies. They're like, it's a movie about an escape room. And if you don't know what an escape room is, it's where people go into, it's like a puzzle. They got all these puzzles to get out of the room. And it's like, so these little fun gatherings for people. But this movie takes it to another level where people actually get killed if they don't, you know, figure out the clues and escape this particular rooms. So there's two of these movies. I was watching the sequel, which is like a group of people who survived other rooms and now had to survive like this main challenge and everything. And this is like one of those like fun, kind of silly movies when, you know. But it makes me think about the fact that we as people, we're always kind of craving challenges. We're always like, we like the idea of danger, even if it doesn't have to, even there's no need for us to be in danger. We kind of like go to danger, right? Even if it's simulated or fabricated or just a fantasy. People want to be in the mix of something dangerous. So I was watching that movie and it made me think of a news story about like a, here in New York City, there's like an illegal fighting club which is doing these events in the Bronx, random places where people are like beating the hell out of each other. There's music, there's drugs being sold, there's women twerking. Sounds like a hell of a time. And I think one of the reasons when the promoters gave it is we want to give people a chance to like be peace, like not shoot at each other, give them an outlet to sort of release, you know, any kind of tension Which on the surface, some people might laugh that off, but it's kind of true that, yeah, people who, you know, this is why they have all these times, like during the summertime, they have all these tournaments, basketball in certain, like certain areas that are trouble, because they're like, oh, then we got to get the kids something to do, keep them distracted. You know the old saying, idle mind, idle hands are the devil's workshop. And so people need sort of outlets to sort of express vice, right? I also think people need outlets too to express virtue. I think you need both. You need balance. You need the yin and the yang. You know, you need the rum and the coke. Then you have a nice cocktail. But you kind of need this balance of things. And that's the main problem in the world. Is sort of the things are not balanced. We're not at the equilibrium. The ground feels unsteady. And how do you get that get to that sense of being stable? Like they say in Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility, and all of us actually have power. Even if you don't think we have power, our interactions, even all of us are influencers, right? We hear a lot about social media influencers, people on different platforms, YouTube or Twitter or whatever. But all of us are influencers. Even if we never open up a social media account, all of us are influencers because of who we interact with on a daily basis. From our friends and family to strangers in the elevator to when we go to the store, how we interact with the cashier or this person stocking stuff, or if we get on a train or bus, the person sitting next to us. All of us are influencers. And the way we treat other people and the way we treat ourselves has a huge influence. You being polite to someone could make their day so much easier when it could be a difficult day. Or you just giving someone a compliment might give them the boost they need to get through the day. Just holding the door for someone. This is the smallest little thing could have a huge impact on that person's day, and maybe their week, maybe their month. You don't know. All of us are influencers. So we think of ourselves, well, the masses, sometimes we think of ourselves as being powerless because we don't have the authority of holding office, or we don't have the big bank accounts of billionaires and other sort of rich folks, or we don't have the fame and the notoriety of the celebrity of the reality TV stars or movie stars and musicians, but all of us are influencers. All of us have the capability of directing other people's behavior. And the main way we do that is through our own actions. Sometimes it could be directly just telling someone something. It could be advice. It could be a compliment. It could be something. But all of us have that impact. And I think we should embrace it. Because like I said, just be real. We are in troubling times. There are many things to be concerned about. Everything from public health to the state of democracy to, you know, economic instability to everything. There's a lot of things to be concerned about. But we're not powerless. And individually, we're not powerless. We all of us have the ability to make an impact, to have an impact. Is that too hopeful? Does that sound too, I don't know, too sweet, too positive? Does that sound too Norman Vincent Peale? I don't know. But I think it's true. In whatever format, it could be your direct interactions with people, it could be whatever you post on social media, or the conversations you have with close friends and family. But I you know. So I just, like I said, for this whole episode, I just wanted to, like, make the case for hope. And that, as a practical thing, not as, like, some sort of, like, you know, why, like, innocent eyed, ooh, you know, let's, like, no, like, as a practical resource, as a tool, as a utility. Because the opposite, like I said, hopelessness, I don't think it is, it's not useful at all. It makes you feel bad. It creates anguish. It doesn't motivate you to do anything to make things better. If you want to think of hope as a weapon, why not? If that's your thing, think of it as a weapon. If you want to think of it as like a utensil, think of it as a utensil. If you want to think of hope as like someone having your back, you know, in a tough situation, think, whatever you want to think of it, but you need it. We need it. So on that note, you know, you can always listen to all the episodes of the podcast, which are available on every platform, from Spotify and Apple to Google. So any place to listen to, you can email me, podcast@manglenn.com. That's podcast@man2ns.com. Also, if you would like to support the podcast any small way, to, you know, or if you just want to try to get me to shut up, because I accept bribes when it comes to podcasting, you can reach me on Venmo, which is @manglenn. That's @man2ns, Glenn2ns. Thank you for listening. Take care of yourself. And remember, stay hopeful.